Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Let's hear it from the girls. In association with the Shona Project, empowering and inspiring the girls of Ireland.
This is News Talk.
Hello and welcome to this very special programme with me, Jess Kelly, here on News Talk. We've teamed up with the Shona Project, which is an organisation that supports and empowers young girls and young women to be their truly authentic selves. Over the next hour, we're going to hear from three young women about what it's like to be a girl in 2023. And this is something that, I'll be completely honest with you, I was a bit apprehensive about doing because, like everyone, I guess, teenage years for me were a bit up and down. There were highs and there were lows and there were periods of not knowing who or what I wanted to be. And I think it's quite intimidating to talk to young women when you're still spending so much of your life trying to figure out what exactly you are today. Never mind when you're 15, 16, 17, 18. But I have three brilliant people with me now. We have Aisha, Katrina and Lynetta. And as I said, we're just going to talk through some of the different issues that young girls face on a daily basis. So I might start with yourself, Katrina. Can you just introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about how you came to be involved with the Shona Project?
So I'm Katrina. I'm in Leaving Cert this year, and I got involved with the Shona Project last year in September 2022. We had a year head meeting, and my year head approached our class about the Shona Junior Ambassador Program, which was a new thing that was being rolled out in schools. And she was just asking if anyone was interested in it. And basically, she just was like, if anyone was interested, just to tell her. And I said I was. And then our year head like emailed the Shona Project and then said, yeah, you're a junior ambassador now. And that was, yeah, fantastic to just become a part of it. And then obviously we had the first meeting with Tammy and with everyone in the Shona Project. And we found out that we're going to be like the first junior ambassadors to be joining the program. And I've been there ever since. And it's been just a fantastic experience.
Tell me a little bit about what the pitch was. Like, what did you hear about the Shona Project that made you go, ooh, that's something I want to be involved with?
One of the main things that your head said was you'd be creating like content if you wanted an article to write. And I like want to work in the journalism kind of area. So that would definitely appeal to me, as well as the fact the main message to empower young girls in Ireland, because Tammy had come to our school in 2019, around January, and the talk that she had with all her years were gathered in the hall in my school. And the talk she had really like stayed with me for a really, really, really long time. And I was like, I want to get involved with this whatever way, shape or form I can. So when I saw the opportunity, it was like, I have to. Like,
what was the crux of the point when you mentioned there about empowering young girls? Was there one moment in that speech that took place in your school that kind of resonated with you that you thought, this is the thing for me?
One of the analogies that she used was like ice cream, and how we're all different like flavors of ice cream, and that you shouldn't want to aspire to be like a vanilla ice cream, which is plain like everyone else, and how we're all different flavors and we shouldn't want to become plain and like put ourselves down and just be our true authentic self, and we shouldn't like make anyone feel like they basically should be a vanilla ice cream. And that like, that analogy stayed with me, especially being like 13, 14. I think I felt like I wanted to be someone else, which was bad. And that really resonated with me. And I was like, hold on, I don't need to be someone else. Like, I'm fine the way I am.
Yeah, I this is a theme that just speaks to my soul. So we're going to come back to this in a minute, because I do think that notion of fitting in or blending in or trying to be part of a crowd is something that can seem so appealing when you're in those sort of early teens and you don't want to stand out. But at 34 now, I'm like, I'm all about being my authentic self. So let's come back to that in a minute. Aisha, if I can come to you, just tell me a little bit about yourself and your own journey to becoming involved in the Shona Project.
Yeah, so I've always enjoyed, you know, getting involved in anything that I could, whether that would be charities or like school things. And my previous year head, she's not my year head anymore, but she must have like, she must have had me in her mind like for a while. So she didn't even ask the year who wanted to do be a Shona ambassador. She picked me and another girl in my year called Faith. And she was like, this is the perfect role for you both. So I was like, well, okay, like, what is this Shona project about? Like, I had no idea what it was about. And then she told me it was about empowering young women and, you know, making women, young girls specifically feel safe in schools. And I was like, that's perfect. I want to be involved.
And had you been in other groups or societies, or what was it about you that made your teacher go, Aisha's the woman for this?
Yeah, well, anything that came up about volunteering, I was involved in. So we have this thing in our school called Period Poverty that Faith, who was actually another ambassador with me, who started it. And I was like, we need to set this off and make sure that this is a implemented thing forever in our school. And it's not just one thing. I thought it was so important. And I made it known, like I went around to the classes and, you know, like spoke about it. And then me and Faith made like a board near where the first years are, where we wrote like affirmations and like things that you need to remember about, you know, being a young girl and being in first year. And it's called the Big Sister Board. So we were like their big sisters. And I think, you know, that must have spoken from my year head.
I love that, the Big Sister Board. The work that you did around the Period Poverty, because that's something, and maybe I was just the most awkward teenager in the world, but conversations around periods or anything to do with, you know, whether you had broken out skin, you'd just pretend it wasn't happening. Or if you had your period, you'd be like, oh, no, nobody could ever know. Have you always felt empowered and in control of conversations around what's going on with you? Or is that something that you developed over time?
I think I definitely developed it because, like, I feel like we live in a society where we're kind of shamed about things like that. So I feel like I broke out of that box and, like, was like, I want to make sure everybody else feels, you know, comfortable and it's normal. And, you know, it makes us unique as women to have such a thing happen to every single one of us. Like, no matter where you're from or what skin color you have, we all go through the same things. So I think that's what drove me to make sure that the Period Poverty campaign was, like, you know, done well.
We're going to, as I said, touch upon a lot of the things that you and Katrina have mentioned so far. But I want to bring Lynetta in here. Lynetta, will you just introduce yourself and again, tell me how you got involved in the Shona Project?
Actually, I got in contact with Shona Project around April this year, and I was the one who contacted Shona Project instead. So I actually started an initiative called Micro-Influence STEM, or My STEM in general. It is Ireland's first student-led STEM leadership initiative. And when I was basically doing this, when I was designing the programs and when I was asking the other students to help with designing the programs and to, well, encourage active student engagement and student-led STEM initiatives, I came across Shona Project when I was doing my little research, because at the moment I was thinking, because I really wanted to do something about women in STEM, in the topic of girls in STEM, especially for the secondary school girls. And it is something that I've been thinking for quite a while. So when I came in contact with the Shona Project, I was super excited to hear back from them. And then we had a meeting with Tammy, with Natasha, and with Fiona. So it was during the meeting that Tammy really invited me to join the Shona Project and to become one of the ambassadors. So I think the thing that really intrigued me was like their passion about it. And it is about how to get young girls to be involved, to be involved in decision-making and to get initiatives set up and to, you know, be a part of the society where women and girls can be just themselves. So, and I'm super excited to get in contact with so many different girls from all across the country. and to get my ideas across and to hear from different perspectives.
And were you, and this might sound like a patronizing question and I don't mean it to be, but were you aware of the lack of women in STEM? Because it's something that I became aware of. I was very, very lucky growing up in that, you know, my dad used to manage a football team and they were all boys, but I'd be invited along and I was given the title of assistant coach. So I got to write down everybody's names. I got to collect the money. I was involved in that way. And I never really saw myself as being, you know, other or, you know, not equal or not included in a conversation until I became a tech journalist and I could be at a phone launch and there could be 500 people there and maybe four or five of them would be women. And that's when the penny dropped at me. But I was like 24, 25, 26 at that time. So were you, and that could be just pure ignorance on my part and pure privilege and all the rest, but is that something that you were aware of from whatever age you were in April of this year?
So personally, I was very lucky because I grew up in a family that's very, very supportive of my decisions. However, when I moved to school around last year, last autumn, and I befriended a girl who came from Clare, County Clare, and she said that in her school and many of the girls' schools in her area, the thing is they didn't have much of the choice in their schools regarding the STEM subjects. So for example, they didn't have applied math and they didn't have computer science. And there were only one student, which was her, who wanted to do applied math. So what they did was that they brought her to a boys' school instead. So the thing is, after I heard that story, I was shocked, just shocked, because I didn't know that, like, something like that, like lack of choice, the thing is, that existed. So I did another, like, little research online. And the thing is, Dublin might be better, but in a lot of other areas, in other counties, there are certain stereotypical perceptions that in girls' schools, the girls would be encouraged to pursue subjects like home economics, maybe biology, while in boys' schools, they would be offered more traditionally masculine subjects, for example, the woodwork and applied math and computer science. So in a way that is exacerbating like STEM inequality, and I really want it to improve. And the thing is, it is improving, which is something really good to see.
It definitely is, but it does, as someone who's been working in this industry, so I started a news talk when I was 19, so over the last 15 years, I've seen bit by bit changes happening, but it does take people like yourself at a young age to notice these things and to be part of the solution. We are going to continue this conversation here on News Talk with our ambassadors from the Shona Project. We'll be right back.
Let's hear it from the girls. In association with the Shona Project, empowering and inspiring the girls of Ireland.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back to this special programme here on News Talk. This is Jess Kelly. I am joined by three young ambassadors, junior ambassadors from the Shona Project. We have Katrina, Aisha and Lynetta with me. And we're talking about the reality of being a girl or a young woman in Ireland in 2023. And if you've opened any newspaper or turned on any radio station over the last whatever period of time, you'll have heard plenty of discussions about young people, and very rarely you get to hear from the people themselves. So I'm delighted to have the three of you with us. Katrina, I want to come back to something that you mentioned earlier in the show, which was, you know, that ice cream analogy of not trying to be vanilla. Don't try to be plain Jane. Don't try to be, you know, blending in and all the rest. I think if I could tell my 7-year-old self and my 14-year-old self and my 21-year-old self that message, I would be so grateful for it. But it's a very difficult thing to do when you're in that moment. Is that something that you've kind of struggled with, or have you always been aware of not being the plain ice cream?
It's something I really did struggle with for a very long time. I always wanted to be like, I don't know, like everyone else. And I didn't like who I was as a person for quite, like, when I was in my early teens, I wanted to be different. I didn't want, and I had literally no belief in myself as a person. Like, I didn't think that I was capable of doing a lot of things. And I let my own my negative self-talk weigh me down a lot of times. And I think due to that, I lost out on a lot of things, like being like just not having the confidence to do it. And I just think I just felt like, oh, I need to be act a certain way. I need to do this certain thing. But then I think when I got to like maybe TY, I stopped caring. Like I genuinely was just like, you know what? I'm going to like be the person that I want to be. Like I can't spend my whole life trying to mold myself into a picture of what people want me to be. Like I've got to be myself and who I am. And I can't, you can't, just because you painted a picture of me of what I am, that's not who I am. Because I feel like some people try and paint an image of who you are, but that's not who you are. And yeah, I think 7-year-old me, especially even when I was younger, like I always tried to be try to be the same and conform, I guess essentially to people and what they thought I should be. And I think I just, beyond TY, I just was like, I don't care anymore. And I think that was something that I'm really glad, because I felt free after that realization that I didn't need to be like everyone else.
Yeah, and like I'm kind of taken aback a little bit, because I came to the same realization, but I was 27 when I did it. And it's so funny how you grow up thinking that you have to be a certain way. And I wasted so much of my 20s trying to be like different people, or, you know, going to things that I actually had no interest in going with. But what I realized, and I suppose it's something that sticks to me now, is that the people I was hanging around maybe weren't the best people for me to be hanging around with, because I couldn't be my authentic self. How important, Aisha, in your opinion, is it to have the right people around you, and also the knowledge and the confidence as you get a little bit older, to remove yourself from friend groups that maybe aren't the best people for you?
I think it's really, really important. I don't think that you know if your friendship is good for you until you put yourself out of that situation and you looked from the outside. I think most of the time when we, you know, have friends that we've had since, you know, primary school, we think that's all we know, you know, like we don't know any better or any different. We see the best in people. But sometimes people's morality and people's like ideas change. And it's important to take a step back and look in with yourself and be like, are these the type of people that I want to spend the rest of my life with? Do these people uplift me? Do they want what's best for me? Do they make me feel, you know, welcomed, or make me feel like there's a purpose for me in this friend group, not just to be a laugh? You know, I think it's really, really, really important to have, you know, the right friends. And it's okay, I think, that if you don't have any friends now, I feel like that will come to you. It's okay to be alone, to have yourself. I think if I got to tell myself that before, it would save me a lot of tears. But it's okay to be, you know, to be on your own journey by yourself, because the friends will come. The people who are for you will be there for you in the future.
Yeah, and that's such an important message. And it kind of goes back to your big sister board that you set up for the first years in the school, because, you know, you can have parents, you can have aunties, you can have uncles, you can have cousins, you can have neighbours who tell you to, you know, cheer up, keep the chin up and everything will be okay. But I do think having people like your peers, maybe not necessarily the same age, but people who have not, like me talking to you guys, I'm 34, you guys are 17 and 18. So there's a bit of a difference there now. Whereas if you guys talk to 16-year-olds, the 16-year-olds will know, well, actually, she was only here 2 years ago, so maybe she does know what I'm going through. So how important is that big sister message, I suppose, not only in school, but in life? So, you know, Aisha, you've got your very, very solid head screwed on. So how important is it that you put the hand back to the next girl coming behind you to help her road go a little bit smoother?
I think it's really, really important, because I didn't have that. And that's what I was missing, and that's what I was longing for. So the fact that I have the opportunity to give it to someone else is really important. And as well as being like near the same age as people, I think speaking from experience as well, being like, I understand you're going through this. This exact thing happened to me, and look at where I am. You're going to get through it. instead of, you know, like the usual, you know, or just you'll get over it one day, or that happens to all of us. It's like, okay, it happens to everyone, but tell me how to deal with it, or tell me what you did to deal with it, like, so that I understand my the different pathways that I have to deal with an issue. So yeah, I think being a big sister or a big brother or whatever you are to someone else will not only help other people, but would also help yourself. I think most of the time we like to give advice to other people and not take our own. But once you hear what you're saying out loud and you're saying it to so many people, I think you, like, without realizing, you start to implement it into your own life and to become a better person.
You mentioned that this was something that you didn't have. Can you think back to times in your early teens where you wish you had that big sister board or that person you could go up to and bounce a problem off?
Yeah, for sure, because I'm the eldest in my whole family, and I'm a big sister no matter where I go, in school or at home, I'm a big sister. So definitely in first and second year, where I was like, I didn't understand, you know, the emotions that we go through during, like, through our period. Like, I didn't know that having mood swings was normal. I thought that I was the only one who was like upset one second and happy the next. I was so confused. I didn't understand. So having someone tell you this is normal, like, everyone goes through this. This is because, like, we all have this happening to us at some stage, and you'll learn how to deal with it, would have been like perfect for me, so I could calm down and be like, I'm not crazy. I'm not like the odd one out.
Yeah, and it's such a simple message to be able to pass on. Like, sometimes people feel, oh, maybe I'm not best placed to give advice because I don't have a PhD or a master's or even a degree to my name. But it is, it's life experience, isn't it? It's the things that we all go through that, as you said, one minute you're higher than high and the next you're crying in a hallway. And it's like, no, it happens to everyone. And Lynetta, following on from that, because not only did Aisha, you know, create the Big Sister Board, you also did similar in that you spoke to your friend from Clare, you identified the problem, you contacted the Shona Project, and you're looking to raise awareness. You're looking to focus on solutions, not just moan about problems. Is that get up and go and that sort of drive something that's always been within you? Or is it something that, again, you've had to grow into and you've realised that there is power in your hands and there is something you can do about the problems that you come across?
In fact, I was nothing like I am today about 3 or 4 years ago. So around that time, everyone else around me said that they would collectively say I'm a very shy person, that I would not have a very strong presence in a crowd, or just nobody knew about me. So that was actually because deep down I was thinking, even though I would share my thoughts and it wouldn't really make a big difference. So that was the idea that I imposed upon myself for a very long time. So the reason why I started to actually open up and to share my voices and seek solutions, it was actually when I started third year. So I moved to a new school, and in the new school, I knew nobody. And the thing is, by then, everyone had already formed their friend groups, and I didn't really want to be alone. So in that way, I was trying to get myself into the crowd, so to say. But I'm really glad I didn't lose myself in the process, because I tried to do different activities. For example, I tried to do MUN and Model United Nations. And that was actually where I found my own voices, that I could actually put up a solution. I can even draw up my own solutions. I can, like, write my own opinions on a certain topic that influences a lot of people. And that was when I realized that every individual's voices actually matter, that even though I might have a very small voice, my voices might be really low, but it could still make an impact. People will hear about you. People will learn about your perspectives. And in the end, your voice is just, it is a message, and that message will spread across. So that's how I grew out of my little shell and finally spoke about my own opinions and show myself to the world, essentially.
Yeah, and that thing of growing out of your shell, I mean, was there anyone who kind of helped you or inspired you or guided you through how exactly to do it?
I think the person is my father. So my dad, he is always there for me. So, and even though I was feeling insecure in my new school, he will always be there to support me, my family. And I always knew that someone back home will be there for me, and someone is always supporting me. And that gave me the courage to go on and to do whatever that I want to do.
Yeah, it's so important having different role models. And when I look back myself, you know, obviously I'm so lucky with my mum, my dad and my siblings, but also I had some brilliant teachers when I was in secondary school. And there was one teacher in particular. Now, she wasn't actually my teacher. She was my older sister's a bit of a swat, and she was the teacher's pet for this one particular teacher who came up to me on my first day of secondary school. And she said, just say yes, because you never know what opportunity can come from saying yes to one thing. And it was such a simple message. And it's something that I still live by, you know, 15 years into my grown up career. I'm still the person who says yes, very often to my own detriment. I take on too much sometimes. But having a teacher who my sister respected pass that on meant so much. I also had another teacher called Inni Hirdon when I was in transition year. And she gave me this project, and it sounds like the most boring thing in the world, but it was to digitize the library in our school. So I got to type in all the names of all the books and put an IBAN number on them. It was really, really sad. But it was one of the best things I did, because I was able to interact with the technology and explain what I did and explain why I did it. And little did I know, like 15 or 16 year old self there, that's essentially what I do now as my job. You know, I play around with technology and I talk about it. And that was skills that Inni Hirdon empowered me to have when I was in TY. Katrina, have you had any particular mentors or any moments that kind of, now with a bit of, I suppose, retrospective thinking, you look upon as key moments and mentorship moments in your teens?
I think my parents would be like main mentors in my life, especially my dad. He's like one of the most hardworking people I think I've ever known. Like, he works so hard, sometimes too much. But I think his, like, him being so hardworking inspired me a lot, because I myself am like that, like yourself. I sometimes take too much on sometimes. But I think my parents, it's like an average answer, but like, my parents are like my main mentors in my life. They're the main inspiration. They've always been so supportive over what I do. They've never pressured me to go do a certain job or something like that. They've always been supportive throughout every stage of my time in secondary school and when I'm going to my new chapter, hopefully university. So I think my main mentors would have been my parents. There also was a teacher who I had in fifth year, who was my English teacher. And she was honestly such a lovely and inspirational woman as well. Like, she really, I loved English or before she came, but like, she really like made me love English even more, with like just how inspirational she was, and how she, you could just tell when a teacher has such great passion for the subject they teach, it like rubs off on the students. And she just like worked so hard, and she always was just always willing to give help. Like, she never turned a student away. Like, she always was so helpful and giving with her time. And like, I remember one thing she told me when it was like her last day. I want to like go into like writing when I'm like older. She said, be a writer, like, you're so good, like, you are actually like really good. And that, like, that stayed with me for a long time. Like, obviously, like, it's good to believe in yourself, but the fact that other people have belief in you and your capabilities is like another thing as well.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we're told when we're good at things, because I feel like in life, people are so quick to tell you when you've messed up. So even if it's like your friend slagging you because you've sent them something stupid with a typo, or you've said the wrong thing in class, or whatever it is, people are so quick to tell you when you've done something bad. And with girls in particular, I find, well, certainly within my friend group, we're probably not great at taking compliments or taking feedback on, you know, that thing of, oh, thanks, hun, pennies. Like, everyone just dismisses it as, oh, no, it's only pennies. It's not like anything fancy or whatever. We're kind of like that in every aspect of our lives. We're not good at saying, do you know what? I am good at English. Thanks so much. I'll take that on and let it kick me on even further. Aisha, you mentioned you're the eldest at home, so you've got loads of siblings. So I'm sure you're the mentor to all your siblings, as well as all to your in school little sisters. But what about yourself from a mentorship point of view? Has there been that defining person, or was there that defining moment that you look back on now going, geez, that was probably a building block in my life?
Well, I feel like I've had a few, but like I'm so lucky to have teachers in my school who really care for the students. But there was one that just came up in my head now where I think it was in TY or something, but I had been on contraception for medical reasons, and my geography teacher, Miss Ardell, she noticed that I wasn't myself. So she, one of the days, she took me aside and she was like, she asked me about it, and I told her honestly because I was like, I trust you. And she was like, she told me my options. She said, you know, it's, you haven't been yourself. You've been down recently. Have you spoken to a doctor? I think maybe you should go back to your doctor and speak about all your other options. And I was like, I can't believe you you've seen this, and I haven't even recognized it as much as you have. And I felt like so appreciated by it. I don't even think I've ever said this to her again after. I was like, but that moment for me was like, someone really cares for me, that they saw me in just in my geography class along with 15 other people and said, she's not herself, and let me ask her. And I was like, I'm still so grateful to this day that she told me about it. And yeah, I think that would be a moment for me.
Yeah, and it goes back to something that I think we can all take on board, and it doesn't matter how old you are if you're listening to this. If you noticed something is off with someone, or if you're thinking about someone, or if you're worried about someone, or if you're happy for someone, you should probably just say it, because you don't know how much it could mean to that person. Like there was stuff going on a few years ago, and one of the bosses in here, Chris, came up to me, and he's the most fun. And he came up to me going, are you okay, chicken? You don't seem yourself. And I was like, how? Like I see him for like 5 minutes a day, and he could tell that I wasn't myself. And it made me realize, oh, wait, I'm not myself. And it's clearly manifesting itself in some way. And those little interactions, they can mean the world to you, or they can shift your point of view or your outlook, or just even your self-awareness. I do think it's so important, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like if you don't even see that you're going through something and someone else does, it makes you reflect like, I must be so important. And, you know, you think of yourself much more highly, like, why haven't I seen this about me when other people are caring so much about myself? And it's like, I don't know, it was like definitely my big step of like, I need to care and look after myself as much as I look after everyone else and as much as other people look after me. And I was like, that was one of my turning points where I was like, number one person needs to be yourself.
God, you guys are such a fountain of knowledge. I feel like I'm learning more here than anybody else. You're going to stay with me, because when we come back, we're going to talk about that dreaded thing, social media. Stay tuned.
Let's hear it from the girls. In association with the Shona Project, empowering and inspiring the girls of Ireland.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back to this special programme here on News Talk. I'm joined by three junior ambassadors with the Shona Project. We have Katrina, Lynetta and Aisha. And the conversation so far has just been incredible. If you've missed any of it, head over to newstalk.com, visit Soundscape and listen back. Or you can get the podcast, just search for Soundscape News Talk wherever you get your podcasts. And Aisha, I want to come back to what you were just talking about before the break. About, I suppose, caring for yourself first and foremost, acknowledging or having somebody around you acknowledging when things are right or not right. Is that even harder to do in the world and in the era of social media? Because you guys, as we've established, are much younger than I am. You've grown up with social media, not just the internet. And we often hear, you know, surveys and stats around how everybody is being cyberbullied and everything is awful in the online world and blah, 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 blah. But is self-care and self-awareness harder now because of social media?
100%, I think it is, because I think social media is all about other people and, you know, celebrities and like influencers, and it changes your train of thought of yourself, where now you have a perception of like this image of everybody else. And you put that onto yourself, even if that's not the type of person that you are. And I think social media also, like, you forget what your like your purpose really is in the world. And it's not all about having hundreds and thousands of followers, or, you know, looking a certain way, or looking a certain way in a bikini. And I think, going back to the point that you said about the cyberbullying, I think even the people who do the cyberbullying have definitely don't have confidence in themselves, because they have to hide behind a screen to make other people feel as bad as they do in like inside. But if you really step back from it and you think, oh, well, just because this certain person thinks that this is right, is that true? Does that really work in my environment? Does that work with the type of people that I, you know, I'm in school with, my peers? So I think it's all about influence. People are influenced in so many different ways. It's not just about clothes and like high end things. It's also about the right and the wrong. You can see how quickly people turn when there's a news article or like something on TikTok about this person said this and did this, when really all they have to do is go research it or go talk about it with someone, and then they would really know, like, maybe that isn't true. Maybe I shouldn't just follow the crowd that think that this is happening. So yeah, I definitely think that social media plays a big part.
And Katrina, this goes back again to your ice cream analogy at the top. You know, I think it's so easy to follow trends on TikTok or to use filters on Snapchat or whatever the platform is, because everyone else is doing it. Have you found peer pressure, I suppose, more intense because of social media? Or is that something that as you've grown up, you've kind of been able to take a step back from and go, hang on a second, I'm not mad about this?
I never really like experienced peer pressure on social media, because I don't really have like FOMO, like fear of missing out. Like, but I think getting jealous of like people, other people's lifestyles. I think on social media, you only see like the pretty picture and what people want to show you of what there is. But actually, in reality, when you look behind the scenes, very often, more times than not, that isn't actually the case. And I think, following on from the ice cream analogy, I think something I've noticed on social media is people are shaming others for just being themselves. Like, I think, you know, like when you get the ick or something like that, and it might like the ick, like, oh, we wear socks with sandals, like that's disgusting or something like that. Like, I don't think the ick, it's like, I just think that sabotaged people, because you get one little thing about someone that you don't like. That's not a bad thing, like not a red flag at all. And you think, oh, that's disgusting, when it's just the way the person is. Like, and I just think it's become so flawed on social media, where people are picking little flaws of people, because we all have flaws, we're not perfect, mm-hmm. and taking and saying, oh, you're so cringy, you're so this, you're so that. Like, nobody's perfect. And that's a worrying thing that I've seen on comment sections, like, why is she doing that? That's so embarrassing. Like, that's a major thing that I've noticed. And I think it's really sad that we're picking apart and scrutinizing people for just wanting to be themselves and for the way they go about things.
Yeah, it's so easy to have a hot take or make a jibe at somebody for something that's a little bit different. And not even that different. As you said, it could be wearing socks with sandals. Like, why does that bother you? Why is that taking up space in your brain? Get back in your box and shut up. Like, it doesn't matter. It really frustrates me. But I also am very cautious not to dismiss social media entirely, because I am obviously a big tech fan and I'm on social media all day, every day. Not to tell my bosses that, but I kind of am. And Lynetta, one thing that I found, because I think you and I are quite similar in that I'm very shy. Like, although I do this for a living, I'd much rather go on the radio and do something like this than go into a room with 10 people and make small talk. Like, I'm just not about that. And I found that social media has been a great way for me to express myself and to connect with people. That also allows me to be my little shy self whenever I want to be. Have you found a way to balance and to get the most out of social media for somebody who's like us in terms of being a little bit shy?
So I think there are a lot of discussions, I think a few years back, about, so two people can talk very fluently, can talk about so many things online, but when they actually meet in person, like, all of them would be silent. So I read about that discussion and I really thought about it. But I think for a way, to find a way to balance our own life and also our, let's say, persona on our social media, I think The first thing is everyone is very complex. We're all very complex individuals. And there are many, many facades of us. And let's say if we are just presenting one facade of us on our social media. So for example, even though I'm really like you, I might prefer to be staying in a room just by myself, but maybe on my social media, I'll be posting all about my friends, my friend groups, and how many parties I went to and stuff like that. But you wouldn't say, like, I wouldn't say that it was not me, because I posted it and that was my life. I actually lived that through. So the thing is, I think it is really up to every single individual. What do you feel comfortable posting on the internet? And also, is that something that you want to post on the internet? And also, that kind of topic leads to social responsibility in a way, because when you are posting, you're, especially on the internet, you're not just posting for yourself unless you are keeping it like in a private account. So if you decide to open your account up, and I think everyone needs to take the social responsibility and actually think about how you will influence other people. For example, on teenage girls and on, for example, in college, the people in college, different people take things differently. And yeah, so I think to be a part of social media and be a part of the internet, we all play our roles, and to share a part of ourselves or share the parts that we are the most interested in, and then in the real life, be whatever we want to be. That's my my advices or my messages.
Yeah, and you're so right. Like, you are 100% right. And I guess one thing that I often think about is, so I would always like to think I've got a good, strong moral compass, and I know right from wrong, and I know what I stand for, and I know what I stand against. And I am very mindful when I post anything on social media. I don't ever want to be the know-it-all. I don't want to be, you know, the smug gal showing her best life. Like, I try to be as authentic as I can. But obviously I can't control what everyone else posts. And you know, one of the things that I've struggled with over, I don't know, last 20 years or so is body image. And I find myself getting really down really quickly if I open Instagram and I see, you know, particularly a few years ago when everyone was photoshopping their photographs but saying they weren't photoshopping their photographs. Or if you see celebrities who are like vacuum packed into a dress and still giving out about their bingo wings, and you're like, ah, calm down, you look fabulous. And I do think we have to be very careful, not only about how we feel about ourselves, but also the potential impact that what we post could have on other people. You know, is that something that you guys, like Katrina, is that something that you'd be aware of as well? Like, do you find social media impacts you? And does that therefore influence or impact what you then post?
When I was younger, I definitely did. I think I'm not on like Instagram or all those other apps as much. Like, I'm more on like TikTok, and TikTok definitely is no, and by no means perfect. I won't ever claim that. But I think I stopped, like, I became very like conscious of my own body image, like in my early teens. And I saw this video of this woman, I forget her name, but it was like a YouTuber, and she was like, just unfollow any like girls that like make you feel insecure. Like, not, it's not to be mean to them, it's just if you're going to compare yourself to them, it's not worth following them. And that's what I did. I unfollowed like girls, and then I started to see that my feed was a lot more like positive, because the way the algorithm works, like if you like certain pictures, you're going to see more and more of that. And so I started to just see stuff I was interested in. And like, I just think in general, as a society, we have a long, long way to come when it, to go when it comes with body image. Like, we need more representation of women of different body sizes, backgrounds, with walks of life. Like, I think one thing that I think is very sad as well is the concept of aging for women. We're told it's a bad thing. Like, past 50, we're told, get on the shelf, you're expired, go. And I think that's so wrong. Like, you rarely if ever see like a woman over the age of 50 in like an ad. or an ad campaign or on the magazine. I'm not saying they're not there, but I think there needs to be more visibility of women who are older, and that it isn't a bad thing to age, because I think there's a double standard when it comes to men, because when men age, it's seen as a better thing for them. But if a woman ages, it's seen as a horrible thing. She's on the expiry shelf. She needs to go. And I think we just need more representation of more women who are older in mainstream media.
Yeah, listen, 100%. Aisha, on that topic of body image and comparisons, like, what's on the big sister board to talk to the first years, the younger girls, about that concept of, like, I'd be a big believer that comparison is a thief of joy. I just think it's the worst thing, but I also find myself doing it pretty much every day of the week. So what would you say to the younger teens about lessons that you've learned, or concepts or things that you have in your brain to pass on?
I would definitely say that if you build your self-confidence before you look at everybody else, then whatever you see on social media won't affect you. You can follow as many people who don't look like you as you want. And since you built that courage of your own, it you'll be still, like, nothing will ever hurt you. And I definitely agree with Katrina. Like, if you think that if you keep looking at these type of people who don't look anything like you, who don't have the same lifestyle as you, and you keep comparing yourself to them, definitely stay away. But I do believe there is a beauty in social media. Because nowadays you're seeing more people with different, like, who look totally different to the people we're used to seeing on TV, people who look like you, people who look like people you know. And it's like, oh, so there's other people. They also have a big following. I can do this. So I think social media is not all bad when you're on the right side of social media. I think if you look for it, you can find the good in, you know, people who really want to uplift young women and who have gone through the same things we have, but are showing it to us in a different light.
Yeah, like, it's incredible to hear your passion and your, I suppose, perspective on these things, because I know women who are in their 40s and in their 50s and in their 60s and still struggle with issues like this. And I think it just goes back to the point at the very, very beginning that nobody has this figured out. Like, nobody is 100% jazz hands about themselves and about their lives all the time. And it's just about being your authentic self and talking it through. We're near the end of our hour, unfortunately. And I just want to ask if you could say one thing to your younger self, what would that be? And what is your hope for when you're all 21? Do you have something that you hope to have achieved that will have hopefully changed in the world that you can work towards? Is there a big lofty mission? I don't know who wants to go first. Aisha, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I think, well, I just tell myself to be patient, and the person that you want to be will come. And, you know, like, there's no rush in becoming this big, confident, amazing woman that you are, because every experience that you go through is building that big, amazing person that you are going to be. So that's definitely what I would tell myself. But then also when I'm 21, I'd hope to then also look at my 18-year-old self and be like, whoa, what a different person. Like, I'm even more confident than I was then. As I grow older, I would hope to look back and be like, what a change in my personality, in a good way.
That's growth, chicken. That's growth. Lynetta, what would you say to your younger self, and then hopefully to your 21-year-old self? What would you hope for?
I would say stay curious, because if I could only find so many new things to look for, and the beauty in the world, basically, if I was more curious and to see basically a vision, to see my community full of wonder. And there are so many adventures ahead, and I just want my younger self to look for it and to, as you said, say yes, and you wouldn't know where you end up. And for the message, for my future message, and that would be, I want myself to be more decisive. And so that would be my message to myself. Hopefully in 5 years time, I'll be more assured of my own self and also more assured of where I'm heading to.
Absolutely love it. And Katrina?
I would say that savor the memories that you have with people and hold on to them. I think sometimes memories can be more important than the photo on Instagram of that moment. So that's something that I would say to like my younger self. And then for when 4 or 5 years time, I'd hope to have traveled to quite a few countries by then. I just want to like go around the world and see this place that we call home and just taste great food. And I hope to just meet a lot of interesting people and just continuing to just live my life fully out the way that I hope to live it. So that would be my vision for 4 or 5 years time.
Great stuff. Katrina, Aisha and Lynetta, thank you so much for joining us here on News Talk. And that's it for this special programme with the Shona Project, empowering and inspiring the girls of Ireland. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back in full on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud.